we sing hallelujah to you.
Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. This is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search and a time to count as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
And I think you should, most of you know this, so please sing it with us. And let's worship the Lord together as we sing.
Lord, I
I'd like to share this morning a message on the subject, a time of remembrance. And you may have looked in vain in this scripture passage that Brother Fred read this morning. Brother Curtis is not here, so Fred did a very admirable job reading the scripture. I appreciate that. You may have noticed, though, that there's no time for remembrance mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. But I think if there's a time for everything, surely there is a time for remembrance. And it's very biblical because there were many times, as you know, in the history of Israel when they paused to remember. And they had their monuments. They had their Ebenezers that served as a reminder of how God had helped them in the past. So this morning I want to share with you a message on that subject, a time for remembrance or of remembrance. This is the Memorial Day weekend, a day that was originally observed to commemorate soldiers killed in the American Civil War. And it became a national holiday. It's for many years, and in fact, in some states, it is still celebrated every year, May 30th, although we, as a national holiday, I believe we have the last Monday in May set aside to honor mostly our war dead. But also, it has become a national holiday when we should pray for God's blessing upon our country. We are blessed as Americans. Many people still want to be in where we are. So we should not take these blessings for granted, and neither should we forget to pause to remember. A time of remembrance is very important. I think times like this remind us of some qualities of remembrance. What are some of the benefits, if you will, of remembering? Well, I think purposefulness. I think we need to realize that God did not just plop this nation down the way we have it, of course. It has been fought for. It has been prayed for. Most of our nation's founders were Christian men. At least they respected the God of the Bible. And they recognized the hand of divine providence behind planting of this great nation. We are great not because we ourselves are great, but because we have believed in a great God. And He has led, I believe, in the establishment of our laws. Our laws are based on the Bible. We shouldn't apologize for that. We shouldn't apologize that we are a nation that is founded upon Christian principles. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our president and our other leaders. We need to pray that God's will would be done, that God would lead us back in the paths of righteousness, because we are not there. We have strayed. So there are many reasons why we need to pause to remember. And one is to remember our purpose. Now, there is a place for that purpose. Here in these famous verses, maybe some of the most famous verses in the Bible. How many remember the birds' song, Turn, Turn, Turn? I got a few old folk here. Yeah, I actually remember that. I know I look too young, but I actually remember that. I remember it well. Well, that song, of course, was based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, these very verses that we read. It says there that there's a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, that's where we live, isn't it? Under heaven. We're not there yet. Even though we have Jesus in our hearts, I trust. And with Jesus, we have the essence of heaven. One day we're going to be there, walking streets of gold. We're not going to have the battles that we have here. We're not going to have the things that it talks about here, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, a time to be born, we'd say that's usually a time of joy. A time to die, a time of sorrow. So we have this ebb and flow of human life in this world. And some things that are good, some things that we would say are not good. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. But we sometimes turn things around and we think, well, it's good to be joyful, but it's not good to be sorrowful. Then we fail to realize that Jesus was a man of sorrows, the Bible says, and acquainted with grief. And the Bible says that sorrow is better than laughter. Sometimes we need that grief, those tears, to wash our eyes, to help us to see that this is a sad and sorrowful world in which we live. I know we'd like to kind of cover it up with giddiness and laughter, but there are many people hurting people in our world, and many of you are hurting. Well, I think it's good to realize that, because God, I believe, especially has His eye on those who are grieving, who are sorrowing. So there's a time for that. And there's certainly a time for laughter, a pleasure, if you will. The Bible says at God's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I'm interested to learn that word translated purpose. In the King James Version, it says purpose for every... There's a time for every purpose under heaven. That word translated purpose there means pleasure. Pleasure. God wants us to have pleasure. Lawful pleasure, certainly. This world was created for our enjoyment. Now, I'm not talking about sinful pleasure. There is pleasure in sin. But we are not only beneficiaries of this beautiful world that God has created and of the lawful, legitimate pleasures of life, but also we were created to give God pleasure. The Westminster Catechism, which we're not officially subscribers to, but we agree with it, I'm sure, teaches that the chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, Solomon was a wise man. In fact, his name is almost synonymous with wisdom. It means peace. But here was a man who had tasted everything that life had to offer. He was wise, but he was also stupid. Maybe the stupidest man that ever lived was Solomon. Even though he had an intelligence and a wisdom, he did a lot of stupid things. That's human nature, isn't it? God has given us wisdom, but sometimes we turn away from that and we become stupid and we do stupid things. Well, thank God for grace. Thank God that there's forgiveness, because we all do those stupid things. And the Bible says God loved him in spite of his stupidity. Pleasure. Planning. No individual or nation can continue without purposeful planning. In the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln said that some of the words that he said were that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. We ought to plan. We ought to purpose that. Pray. But to do everything in our power to keep people free. Because the Bible says that for Christ has made us free. So we must have a purposeful planning. We have a purpose as a church. It's written on the front of your bulletin there if you have one of those. The red today. So if you have a white one, that's last week. But it says there on the bulletin, our Alturas Baptist Church exists to glorify God by seeking to win and lead all people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. A life without a purpose is a life of frustration, a life of emptiness. But thank God He has given us a purpose, a time for every purpose, it says, under heaven here. But also in these words is a reminder of changefulness. I mean, how can you read this and not think of change? A time to be born and a time to die. Now we're in between, aren't we? We've been born. Many of us have been born again. But one day we're going to be put in the grave. The Bible says that it is an appointment that we must keep. And so we need to think about our lives. Again, Solomon was a wise man, but he was also a stupid man. But now he was wise again. We've all done those stupid things, haven't we? We had those stupid periods in our lives, and we wonder, oh, how did I ever live through that? Well, it's the grace of God. But he says here, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend. You know all about these things. A time to keep, a time to throw away. We keep too much, don't we? So maybe we ought to do more throwing away. There's a lot of wisdom here. We live in a changeful world. About here in this world, all that we see is change around us. And it reminds us, first of all, of stewardship. We are stewards of this world in which the only constant is change. People are allergic to change, Rick Warren says. I agree with him. I said, because I'm allergic to change. But that's one of the lessons here, is that there's change in this life, and we need to recognize that. That's part of wisdom. And that God has created us to be stewards of this world, a time to plant, a time to uproot, even a time to kill. Now, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. It's not talking about murder, of course, but maybe certainly hunting and things like that. Nothing wrong with that. But a time to, even in a time of war, that's not murder. Sometimes we need to stand up in defense of our nation and of our cherished values of freedom and equality. I know those are ideals, but they're ideals that many nations do not share. And sometimes we have to stand up for those that are too weak to stand up for themselves. And just as our law enforcement people sometimes have to kill in order to protect our society, sometimes that is necessary. So there's a reminder here of stewardship. There's a reminder of citizenship, certainly. We are in a time of war. And perhaps historians will call this World War III. We don't know yet. I don't know that it really matters. But Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. And he said, though, that we are to occupy until he comes. And we are to make our world better. We are to be salt and light in our world. We are to be the light of the world, Jesus said. We are to let our light shine for him. We are to recognize that those of us who are born again through faith in Jesus Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, but we still live here. And we must be good stewards of what God has given us. And not only is there stewardship, citizenship here, but there is discipleship. Though human affairs change, God does not. We cannot go forward until we go back. And I believe that God is calling us in these words to think about our lives, to think about what it means to live in this world, and how we need to realize that we must change. We must change or we're going to die. I'm not talking about changing our doctrine or changing our looks, even. I don't know that that's even possible, although we try. But recognizing that when we look in that mirror, that we're going to be different when we see. Have you ever caught a glimpse of yourself walking along the street downtown or something? You see somebody in one of the store windows. You wonder who that ugly person is. You realize it's you. You've aged. I don't know. Not ugly, but you know, you think, oh, who is that? And you realize it's you. And so you go home and you try to make yourself look a little better, maybe. You know, get on an exercise plan and whatever you need. And that's all good. But we have changed, don't we? And that's where we need the grace of God. That's where we need the wisdom of God. That's where we need to submit to His Spirit's control in our lives. But not only is there purposefulness here, I believe, and changefulness, but there is faithfulness. The lesson of faithfulness, if you will. Of God's faithfulness to us. Notice here that the faithfulness of God is seen in the faithfulness of the seasons and the faithfulness of His creation. God has created all of this. It's really wonderful when you think about it. How God created this beautiful world for us to live in. And how He created there to be seasons in our lives. And it speaks of our faithfulness to, or God's faithfulness to us. Like the hymn writer wrote, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. But not only does it speak to the faithfulness of God's faithfulness to us here, but it calls us to our faithfulness to God in its practice, recognizing the temporary nature of lives, recognizing that our lives, the Bible says, are but a vapor. Well, not only does the Bible say that, but it's true. We're just here for a short time, and then we're gone. And the older we live, the more the shorter our lives seem to be in retrospect, because our lives are but a vapor, the Bible says. The wisest of man was inspired, a man was inspired to write this, because we need to be vigilant and wise in our use of time, don't we? The Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. But not only in its practice, but in its polemic, if you will. Now that word means warlike, I guess. We are a warlike people in the sense that the Bible makes it clear that we are in a battle. And here it talks about killing. Time to kill, a time to heal, a time of war and a time of peace. That's our lives. We are called to be in a warlike world, not only in this world, but the Bible says that our adversaries are not flesh and blood, but they are the principalities and the powers in the heavenly realm. In other words, the devil and his angels. We do have a battle that we are engaged in. And that battle, I know we think of Iraq. We think of maybe the Muslim people as our enemies. They're not our enemies in the sense that we think. They are people for whom Christ died. Our real enemies are the devil and his angels. You may have people that you would describe it as an enemy. But it's because of the devil working in their lives. Jesus made it clear that if our enemy hungers, we are to pray for them. I think not only today are we to pray for our nation and certainly give priority to our military people, but we should pray for those benighted souls that would be lost for eternity unless they receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to die for them. So our faithfulness to God and its practice and its polemic and its pursuit, we are to seek peace and pursue it, a time of war, a time of peace. Certainly, the Bible teaches very clearly that we are to be peaceful people. We are to be peace lovers. We are to do everything in our power to make peace with not only with God, but with men. Because as we do so, then we will walk in the footsteps of our beloved Lord. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. May that be our prayer for our beloved America today. Thank you.